Open to John chapter 5 and try to always bring your Bibles or your iPads to church with the Bible on that. That'd be a blessing as well. We're having a series here that I'm going to do the last part of this today. This called the Path to Peace series. I'm talking here on the second part of when I spoke 2 weeks ago called Being Healed Without Scars. I really sense again that in this new year that we're going to see things happening in the world around us. It's going to start drawing many prodigals back into places like this. And I also believe God to see many lost people who don't know Christ as Savior coming to Him for the first time. And some of these folks that come in the body of Christ like this, because I really sense there's a real health here among the people of Tree of Life Church for the most part, that God wants us to be prepared to not just make converts of all nations and peoples, but also make disciples of them. And that's one thing, again, that Billy Graham said himself, that one of his things he regrets in his ministry life is he said, I saw millions of folks come to Christ as Lord and Savior, but I saw very few disciples made in my ministry. If I went back in time, he said, I would actually raise up a team to do discipleship, taking that more seriously. So I praise God for even Jack Adams here, who's teaching now a discipleship class on Tuesday nights. And that meets again this coming Tuesday again. Is that right? You can still jump on board, come to that at 7 o'clock right here in the church if you want to come to that as well. Because there's so many folks in the body of Christ that all they know is that they're born again, they're going to heaven, and God's kind of punched their eternity ticket. But that is just the beginning. That is not the end of your Christian life. Amen? That's you getting born into God's kingdom. The Bible says, I have prepared works for you to do from the foundation of the earth. And those works are going to get revealed out of us as we submit ourselves to the Lordship, not just the Saviorship of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? And so I'm sitting here the first part of the year that God wants us to enter this new year being healed with no scars in the past. And on Wednesday nights, I'm doing a series also, I'm about to wrap up here, about living waters, how God is drawing us into intimacy with Him through praise and through worship and by spending time also in God's presence. So when I spoke here 2 weeks ago on the first part of this being healed without scars, I said to you folks these three take-home points. That is, first of all, we need to identify the way that God sees us. Because many times the way we see ourselves is not the way that God sees us. God doesn't look at you with a critical eye trying to find out what's wrong with you. God sees you as the apple, the Bible says, of His eye. He sees you as a beloved. He sees you as one who'll be with Him forevermore. He sees you as worthy of the death of His own Son, Jesus Christ. His most beloved being in the entire universe is His own Son who He gave for you and I. God sees you in all the glory that shall be yours in the life to come, but also He sees the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and the Holy Spirit also is dear to God, and God said, I'm going to put my own spirit in you because I love you so much. You are the first of my creation, made a little lower than the angels, but you shall be glorified one day above the angels. You shall be mine forevermore, says the Lord. So, understanding, if you see yourself anything less than that, you're not seeing yourself in truth. You're seeing yourself in a lie. Amen? And so God once said, erased also a wrong image of ourselves, the way that God sees us. I said, number two, identify also the stronghold that may be in your life that God wants identified, then removed and dealt with. Then also identify the source of that stronghold, that source might be cut off, that it will not spring back upon you once again. I've heard time and time again about people getting healed of things like cancer. And they're healed for sometimes only 2, 3, or 4 months or weeks, and it comes right back on them with a vengeance, even sometimes kills them. So you must identify the stronghold, but also see the source of that and cut that supply off. Amen? Because God wants that thing not just gone for a season. He wants it gone forever. The Bible says, as far as east is from the west, so far your sins are gone. Well, God also says the same thing about your diseases, your sicknesses, your past hurts and wounds and bruises. Those are also the same. So John chapter 5 is a story, a true story about a man in Bethesda, at the pool of Bethesda. I believe it's in Jerusalem here. And we're going to start reading here in verse number 2. And I'm calling this also in a second term or a second title of this message here, that Jesus Christ is not the bridge over troubled water. Jesus Christ is the one who troubles the water. Amen? That old Simon and Garfunkel song called Bridge Over Troubled Water is a good, heartfelt, tear-jerking type song. But the truth is, there's waters in us that Jesus Christ wants to trouble to bring forth healing into our lives. John chapter 5, verse 2 talks about this, and it says, Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, notice that, waiting for the moving, the troubling of the waters. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up, troubled the waters, and then whoever stopped or stepped into the water first, after the stirring and troubling of the waters, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now it says a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered back and said to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred and troubled, but while I'm coming, another man steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And here we see a true story about how God, again, through his son Jesus Christ, causes the waters to be stirred, not just in a natural realm, but the realm of faith that brings forth a divine healing to a man. There's revelation of expectation that comes to all believers in Jesus Christ. That revelation is, whenever we come together like this on a Sunday morning, I have revealed to me that I expect God to do something of eternity and also something of nature and of my soulish realm at all to benefit me in a service like this. My prayer is you won't leave this place today the way you came in here. You're going to find yourself bettered in many ways by being in God's presence in a manifest way of praise and worship together in a corporate gathering like this. Amen. We don't come in here to clock in and clock out and pay homage to God and do religious service to make God happy Monday through Saturday. We come here because there's life in this place. God is in this place. God knows every detail of our lives individually, but also corporately. And God's got an agenda also for Austin, Texas, being revealed by the body and to the body of Christ that helps actually comes to us in clearer fashion by coming together like this in corporate gatherings. And so praise God again, you folks got out of bed today, you're here today, and I hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, because God's got a word for each one of us, and I believe that God wants to bring forth even breakthroughs this morning at the end of our service to bring forth to us a soundness and a wholeness we may not have realized in times past, because God is here among us to touch individuals' lives. I believe that very, very strongly. Every believer is going to have a Ziklag take place in their life. Ziklag is a place where the Bible says in the Old Testament where David had his troops around him. And it says that the enemy came and plundered the wives and all the goods when they were out there fighting the enemies, the Philistines. And they came back. All their wives were gone. Their livestock was gone. Their goods were gone. And they were going to stone King David. The Bible says King David had nobody to encourage him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. All of us are going to face a time when folks misunderstand us, folks forsake us, folks turn their backs on us for a season. And in those times, God is saying, you must learn, be postured already to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. We're going to all have times in our lives of like Job, perhaps, where it seems like we lose our job, we lose our health, we lose our children to whatever sin or backsliding state, perhaps. All the things in life around us are temporal, they're fading, and they can be touched by tragedy. And the Bible says, even Job's wife says to him, go ahead and just curse God, just die. Job says, I will never open my mouth in a curse to the Lord my God. I know him too well, I know him too good, and I will never ever say curses to my Lord and my God. And as time went by, the Bible says, the end part of Job, it says, Job said himself, I have seen your hand, I've seen your works, but now I see your face. And God paid Job back double for his trouble, as Joyce Meyer says. And the truth is, God can pay back double for your trouble. But the truth also is, sometimes a Job experience might take place even in your life as well. Some folks go through a Joseph experience here where your brothers betray you, your own family turns against you. You find yourself in a place of obscurity. You find yourself locked away for a season. But down there in the dungeon, Joseph uses his giftings by God to prophesy and interpret dreams, and through that, God gets him out of his dungeon and makes him second in command over all of Egypt in due time. And God gives him riches and beauty for his ashes, as again, only God can do. I'm saying all of us on this earth, things take place that are bad things to good people, But the good news is we serve a good God who nothing is too hard for that God. And so we have expectations of God showing up in our situations there. But again, sometimes there are seasons where healings need to take place because wounds and bruises are imparted and inflicted upon us. But God is a God who heals and lets there be no scars, no remnant, no stench of that sickness or pain or death that was around us in times past. There are times where people will be able to sympathize with us in our times of despair, but they really can't totally relate to what we're going through because only we are going through that exact thing ourselves. You can't really relate to a person who's just lost their daughter in a car crash and is now dead at age 12. You cannot really relate to that unless you've gone through that yourself. You can sympathize, you can cry with them and be with them, but you can't relate to a woman sometimes who's going through her third miscarriage and lost that baby the first, second, or third time perhaps. Those things are only things folks who go through that understand the pain, the agony of that. But the Bible says the good news is that God is able to sympathize with all of our weaknesses, despairs, and tragedies in life. Only God can do things that man cannot do in times of tragedies in our life. And the good news is God is a physician. God is a doctor who can heal every calamity in our lives and leave no scars behind on the other side. Amen? Who can say in this congregation here that God's done that for you as well? You've seen God in your life heal your life and leave no residue of stitches and scars and marks of what the enemy or man has done to you upon the face of the earth. Psalm chapter 62 now, verse 1, it says this, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock. He's my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken." Amen? God is our fortress. God's our strong tower. God's our refuge. And what God is saying to us is, when things are too big around us for us, it is time to look to the rock that is higher than we are, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord, God the Father, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. These are a fortress unto us in times of despair, times of turmoil, and times of hurts and wounds in our lives. Why does God tell us to put our trust in Him at all times? Because again, you can't even trust yourself many times in life. Amen? The Bible says our own hearts are deceitful above all things. If you're living by your own human reasoning, your own understandings, your own intellect, you're living in dangerous ground. Because even your own mind, your own soul is being renewed by the washing of the water of the Word, but it's not going to be perfect until Jesus Christ comes back and a glorified body happens for us. Amen? I'm ready for that glorified body, glorified mind. My mind is not totally perfect. I can't trust all the things my mind comes up with. The Bible says Abraham trusted his own understanding and produced a young man named Ishmael, who's now the father of all the Muslims. The Bible says that a man named Jonah said, "I don't believe that these Ninevites are worthy to be rescued and saved. I'm going to go the other way." The Bible says God makes a great fish for him and swallows him, puts him on dry land, spits him out, vomits him out there, and fulfills that calling anyway because God says my giftings and my callings have no repentance. If I said go to Nineveh, I mean go to Nineveh. And I'll make a fish for you if I have to, but your own brain is going to get in the way here and cause troubles for your life. The Bible says that Saul, whose name was changed to Paul eventually, was actually thinking in his own brain that all the Christians were demonic, of the devil, and tried to kill all of them he could. And God makes up a place where he finds a great big bright light shines upon him, blinds him, knocks him off his high horse, and puts him in a place of obscurity for months and months and months to get retrained in his brain. Because he's got carnal thinking, he's got wrong thinking, religious thinking, he's got killing Jesus thinking. And so God takes his own dynamic of his brain and mind, turns it all around there into right thinking. I'm saying to you guys again, you cannot even trust your own brain sometimes, your own mind sometimes. You need the mind of Christ in your life. How do I get that? Spending time in God's Word, spending time around God's healthy people, spending time in healthy local churches, spending time in praise and worship, spending time before the Lord. Amen? And also starting to hear what God says to you. When God's Word is not the standard for our lives, then our mind becomes a standard for our lives, and that is dangerous. God's Word must become the standard in your life, or else you're going to find yourself vindicating yourself, avenging yourself, justifying yourself and deceiving yourself into dangerous territory in your life. God's word must become the standard of your life. And that's why the Bible says, I have hid your word in my heart that I will not sin or miss the mark against you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thy word is like honeycomb to my mouth. I shall eat your word. Meditate upon your word. Your word shall depart from my mouth. I shall do everything your word has said, and I shall give meditation to those things. You shall then direct my paths and make my way prosperous, says the Lord, if my word rules in your life. You're robbing yourself when you don't read God's word, don't spend time in God's word, don't memorize God's word, don't speak God's word out of your mouth. Amen? You're robbing yourself. So, it sometimes seems that God is taking his time, but the fact is you just don't know God's schedule. God is never early. Amen? God is never late, but God's got a schedule. And God says, in due time, my time, you will reap if you faint not. So God's got a schedule for your life that includes not just you, but your aunt, your uncle, your neighbors, your coworkers, all the folks you influence are all included in God's grand scheme for your life. And so God's schedule is not your schedule, but God will never be early, never be late. God will always show up on time and get the biggest bang for his buck. Every time. Amen? Amen. You can see it in your own life as well. God does things by divine coincidences, divine happenings. God gets the biggest bang for his buck every time. He's Jewish. Amen? All right. So, I do have some things to write down in your notes. You have a custom-made bulletin with custom-made blank spots with your custom-made pen or pencil. And so, write these things down perhaps about how to be healed. Some things, some principles, some promises here to take home here. Without scars. Number one is, our expectations must be in God. Our expectations must be in God. The enemy does all he can to try to bring discouragement to our lives and try and defeat the promises that God gives to us. Again, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and so he always sees angelic motion around you. When God's releasing blessings or God's posturing self for blessings and breakthroughs for your life, demons see that in the spiritual realm because they're in the same realm as angels of God are. They can see angels moving around you. And so they try to bring in things to push your buttons and try and disqualify you from receiving the breakthrough and the promises and the answers God's got for your life. Doesn't God's word say back in the book of Daniel that Daniel the prophet began to pray, I think it was for Jerusalem or for Israel, and it says an angel of hell began to take and wrestle with Michael the archangel and delayed him for at least 21 days from the answer that God wanted to bring there for the people of Israel, for Daniel the prophet as well. So we see here there's wrestlings happening in the realm around us, and those wrestlings in the spiritual realm, they bring forth discouragement to you in the natural realm. Because during that 21 days, I'm sure that Daniel was going through migraines, a nagging wife perhaps, flat tires on his car. His washing machine probably broke down. He probably got a hangnail on all 10 fingers. I'm saying all these things of wrestlings in the spiritual realm bring natural results on the earth to push your buttons and try and discourage you. Maybe things come out of your mouth to rob you of your faith that you will not last the battle that God has for you. Our expectations must be in God and what God says, not upon circumstances or upon past experiences or upon other people around us' experiences. It must be in God. In John chapter 5, this man that was by the pool of Bethesda had lost his expectations. The problem is he was looking for somebody around him to pick him up and place him in the troubled waters when the angel showed up. And the bad news is, the folks around him are as sick or as bad off as he is. They don't care about his problem. They care about their problem. How many folks realize that when you go to an emergency room, like we've done time and again ourselves for the past 6 or 7 years now, in the emergency rooms and hospitals, the folks around you don't try to help you get to the doctor first. They want to get there first. They're saying, would you please get out here? I am in pain. I am in agony. I want to go first. Get me to those troubled waters. Get me to that doctor as fast as you can. I need some medicine. I need some morphine. I need something because I'm in pain. That's what the same guy, the same shape of this, you know, what this guy was in this day. He had folks all around him. He said, they won't pick me up. They won't lift me into the waters. They won't help me get healed. Well, of course they won't. They're in the same boat you're in. They care about their needs getting met, not your needs getting met. Understand that. Time can help you heal, but time can also whittle away at your faith. Some of you in this room today have gone through long-standing problems, difficulties with your marriages, your finances, your health, your own emotions, your depression issue, and so forth. And time, we hear time again, that time heals all wounds, and time can bring healing to many wounds, but time can also work against us and chip away at the faith that God gives us also in our lives. Because our own motto of our church here says that the words, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but it says a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When I feel like I'm not God's priority, then that fights against my faith many times also in my life. You can sometimes actually hope until your heart becomes sick, becomes uneasy, becomes trouble itself on an ongoing basis. It's kind of like a person who's got a parent who's a bad step-parent or a mean father, mean mother, and we hope that somehow, some way, God will get a hold of them and change their lives. We pray, God, change them. God, deal with them. God, somehow, work and move in their behalf and make them become a nice person. What God says back to us, if we start hearing God's voices, God says your hope is in the wrong thing. You're hoping for a sick person like you are to pick you up and put you into the pool, and it's not going to happen. What God is saying is, learn to love that scoundrel as they are. And then also pray to me for grace to be able to love them through their pain, through their agony, through their scoundrelism, what you want to call it. And through that, I can then work in their lives and change them, saith the Lord. You see, hope deferred to the wrong thing. Hoping that your stepmom, stepdad, real dad, real mom gets nice is a deferred hope. It's not going to happen, probably. What God is saying, change me. Help me, God, rise above their meanness, rise above their insults, rise above their abuse, and try to love them somehow unconditionally with your grace, and then through that, I'll see them change in Jesus' name. Remember what, again, I told you guys time and again, I remind you of what Pastor Walter Henderson said about his own wife, who was an ex-prostitute, an ex-gang member, bitter, angry, used by men time and time again in her unsaved world, enters into marriage with him with hurts and bruises and wounds and so forth. And God says, quit praying that I change your wife and start praying I give you grace to serve her until she gets healed. And for 6 months, he said, at least, he served her breakfast in bed, brought her roses and flowers, was always nice to her regardless what she said back to him. He gave her beauty for ashes. And in due time, she broke down. She repented. She got her heart right with God. God set her free of bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and man-hating. And through all of that, they have now a happy marriage and are going around the world today doing marriage seminars across parts of our nation and nations of the earth by what God's healed in her life by God's power and grace. Amen? So I'm saying against what God's saying to us. Hope deferred the wrong way only makes your heart sick. Longings fulfilled, though, will be a tree of life. And a tree of life is a tree planted by rivers of living waters that always bears fruit on a consistent basis. So God wants for you. He wants consistency on an ongoing basis. So dependency or despondency can dry up our spirit, causing us to overcompensate in realms of the spirit. You ever seen somebody that everything out of their mouth is the word God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Now, I believe it's good of us to meditate upon God all the time. But we should not be saying everything around us is always God. We see a snail go across a sidewalk. What's God saying to me? We see a Big Mac sign blow up and go flat. What's the Lord saying about that in my life? We start seeing things, and it's always everything around us is God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, every single thing of our whole life, every breath we take, and so forth. And God is saying that is overcompensating for sometimes a despondency and a dryness in our spirit that God wants to heal. Amen? The Bible says here again to us, this guy was a guy that had gone through expectations, but now he's despondent and losing expectation. Despondency will put you into a place of dryness where you won't even care if you make it or not. That's a dangerous place because When you find yourself not even caring if God shows up, you're going to find yourself being drawn to your flesh and not your spirit man more and more and more. We can go through a great disappointment and then find ourselves paralyzed over time. And I believe this morning God wants to take and heal some paralysis in the spiritual, soulish realm of people's lives. Number two today, second thing to write down is, to be healed without scars means to be willing to leave the wrong crowd. Be willing to leave the wrong crowd. The man at the pool of Bethesda found himself hanging around a bunch of sick people that became the new normal for his life. It became normal. In 38 years around the sick folks, it became normal to be crippled and paralyzed and moaning and groaning and in pain and agony. This became the new normal in this man's life. It's the wrong crowd to be around because these guys have all lost their expectancy. They've lost their hope. They've lost their vision. All they care about is maybe one day I'm going to win the lottery, be put in the troubled waters, be healed once again. It's all they cared about. They're a crowd that has given up and has quit looking for life's rewards a long time ago. That's a dangerous place to be in. The Bible says what? Without a vision, people perish. That means they slowly ebb away and are gone. The Bible says also that Bethesda is a place where a great multitude of impotent people were at. Notice that when Jesus Christ shows up, he does not lay down by the paralyzed, crippled man and empathize with him. He says, look at how I am, become like me. I'm not going to lie down next to you and cry with you and be like you are. I'm saying you need to become like I am. Do you want to be made whole? Is that what you want? And what God is saying to you and I is, that's also good medicine for folks around us. Don't always be the person who's first to empathize and cry with those who cry and try to say, I want to be like you are to relate to you. Do empathize, have sympathy for folks around us. Do that, but also find solutions to their problems that they might be lifted up out of their gutter in Jesus' name. And use what God's placed inside of you, the water of the Holy Spirit, be troubled in you in Jesus' name to say, rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants us to be people who are not powered down in life. We're those who are powered up in Jesus' name. The temptation is to get ourselves around other people and there's hurts and wounds and bruises who are only half what they used to be in the spiritual realm. God's saying, don't power down. Believe God to power back up once again. I don't sense your presence, God, like I used to. I don't hear your voice like I used to. I don't see myself. I don't see fruit being born like I used to. And God is saying, well, it's time to power up as all these wounds and things of healing take place with no scars in your life on the other side. God wants us to create an atmosphere, an environment that is conducive for Jesus Christ to show up and help us get up and out of our condition. The truth is, the Bible says there were multitudes of people, many people that were there that day around that pool needing healing, deliverance, and God's help. But Jesus only goes to the one man. Why is that? He saw something in his heart that drew him to that man. I'm saying you can actually create an atmosphere yourself that draws Jesus to yourself. Amen? It's called praise. It's called worship. It's called a sacrifice of praise. It's called giving thanks when you just kind of feel thankless. It's saying, Father God, I praise you for all the good things you have done in my life, my wife's life, my family's life, my nation's life. I find something, oh God, to give thanks and praise for. I'm going to make an atmosphere conducive for Jesus Christ to want to show up here because he has the answers and solutions for my dilemma. Only he has it. He is the bridge to troubled water. He's not the bridge over that. Amen? Common pain, like common sin, bridges us into relationships of commonality. Have you seen how many folks, how birds of a feather tend to flock together? How all the gossipers tend to come together in churches? How all the folks that have the same pains and same hurts, same wounds kind of come together? Have you seen how folks who actually are very healthy, who are bearing fruit, kind of come together? Birds of a feather flock together. So God is saying to us, be willing to rise up out of a crowd. If you've got crowds around you, all they do is gripe, complain, and murmur, talk about their bruises and hurts and wounds. That's the wrong crowd to be with for a long time. Amen? Be there long enough to get them healed up, hopefully, but don't camp there with them. Jesus Christ says again, I'm not going to lie down there next to you and empathize with you. I'm going to say you rise up and you get your mat and you walk in Jesus' name. Leave that crowd. When somebody comes crying to us, the best thing for them is not always for us to tell them, it's all right. I sympathize with you. Your pain is my pain. I know what you're going through. Sometimes the best thing is, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your pain and your sickness and your disease. I'm believing God with you, brother or sister. You don't need to stay like this the rest of your life. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are already healed. I believe that Jesus Christ came to bind up the brokenhearted, heal those that are wounded. I believe all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. I will stand with you till I see the answer take place and the breakthrough come. But I will not stand by, let you remain like this the rest of your life. Amen? God did too much for you to stay like this. Amen? So I'm saying, hear that. Know that God loves us too much to keep us the way we are. God wants us also to stop committing together over our pains and find a common place around Jesus and God's Word, not around our pain and our disappointments and our wounds and our bruises. Find a common place in what God says about your pain and about your sickness and about your wound. Amen? Find a common place there. In emergency rooms, patients don't treat each other. They want to find the doctor to help set them free. Amen? So if you're trying to find pain in pain people to meet your needs, they will not be able to do that. They can't help you out. You need Jesus to show up and get you out of your dilemma. Amen? Last of all, number three. Third thing about being healed without scars, we must be willing to pull up the anchor. What do I mean by that? This man had been at the pool the longest of any person in that area at all. 38 years. The Bible says in one, I think one translation says, the longest person to be there was this man, 38 years there. The only way he saw people get healed was to be placed in the water when it was troubled by the angel. Like this paralyzed man, my condition can also paralyze my mind and my soul so much that I find myself stuck in the past, not moving on in the things that God has for my life. The interesting thing here to me is when Jesus tells the man, take up your bed and walk, the Greek words for take up your bed and take up are actually nautical words that mean pull up an anchor out of the ocean and set that ship free. It's a nautical term. It means pull up your anchor and set that ship free. Many believers have an anchor that's right down there in the bottom of their pain, their agonies, their hurts, their wounds, their bruises, and their past. And it's holding them fast in a place where their ship of destiny cannot move one foot forward at all. God wants anchors pulled up in Jesus' name. He says, pick up, pull up your anchor, take up your mat and walk, saith the Lord. And praise God, the man heard him, the man obeyed him, the man did that, and did not go back to that pool ever again in his life. When Jesus tells the man, take up your mat and walk, he's saying, pull up the anchor that's holding you back. And what God is saying to us now at the close of this service this morning is, do we still have perhaps things from 2013, 2012, and 2011 and beyond there, we're still anchored onto in 2014, we're trying to drag with us and still fulfill the destiny that Jesus Christ and God has for my life. I think of this old rock tune from the 1950s and 60s. It can come to my brain here somehow. My mind's been renewed so much from secular music, I have a hard time getting back in these songs once again. There's a song that says something like, again, I have that, something about Monday is still with me. So some song that says, I still have Monday with me. It'll come to my brain. If I turn on some kind of a rock channel after church is over, it may come back to me again. I'm not in the spiritual realm to do that right now. But I still thought about this earlier on here. Something about the smell of Monday is still on me. And what God is saying to us, some of us still have the smell of past days, past wounds, past bruises, past hurts still on us. And Jesus Christ has really paid the price for us to remove the stench and the smell of death off of us as only He can do. I'm going to have James come back to the platform here now, if you would please, helping us out, if you would. Because I know the Spirit of God is here today to, I believe I'll have us pray for three different things this morning before we leave this place. And I want to say again today that Jesus Christ is not the bridge over troubled water. He is the one who troubles the waters and brings forth the healings and leads us into those waters to be healed, not be destroyed, by His grace and by His power and by His Spirit. So, Father God, today when our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I believe You, Lord, that You're the God who's here to speak to lives and hearts of peoples. Father, I sense, oh God, there's perhaps anchors we have put down upon the coast and upon the shores in the shallows of life. That's why Jesus told the disciples, launch out into the deep and you shall find some fish. By the shore, the shallow place, you're not going to find your harvest. Not going to find your destiny. It's going to be in the deep place, saith God, where the anchor won't reach the bottom. And Father, I pray, God, today that anchors be pulled up. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, the first person I want to talk to today is a person who needs to realize this story about the man at Bethesda's pool who was paralyzed and could not walk represents unbelievers who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The truth is that no man, no woman can save themselves. The Bible says you must be born of the Spirit and of mankind both. You must be born again, it says. And that means that our spirit man, we're a triune being made of a spirit and a soul and a body. And our spirit man will live forever someplace. God's Word says either a place of darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, or a place of light in God's kingdom and creativity and joys forevermore. And He says, only through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, can man be born again. Not by religion, not by church attendance, not by good works, not by behavior are men born again, women born again. And knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and God of our lives, it's only by saying, I cannot save myself. I need a Savior. I confess I have sinned. Because, Father God, all of us have sinned. We've all come short of Your best in our lives. And Father God, I realize in my own life that I need a Savior. I need someone who takes and makes my dead spirit man come alive. And so I receive the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in my life this day. I call upon the name of Jesus. And I say, Father, forgive me. Lord God, come inside of my heart by the power of Your Spirit. Take sin from me. And I confess, oh God, this day You are my God, my Lord, my Savior. I want to follow You all the days of my life. I want You to be my God, my Lord. I want to know when I see You face to face. You're going to say, I know You. Because You called upon my name in Your life. And I heard You, I answered You. And I became Your God, Your Lord, Your Master, Your Savior. And I became the one who lives in you by my Spirit. If you've never prayed a prayer like that before in your life, well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed for privacy's sake only, would you be very, very bold this morning and just raise your hand real high and say, that's me, Pastor Mike. I never have prayed a prayer like that, but I'd like to be able to pray a prayer like that today. Would you just raise your hand real high? Anybody like that in this congregation this morning? All right, you guys are all born-again believers in Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Use that illustration to help others out there at your workplace. Folks who need Christ that you come in contact with this week at the gym or wherever. The second person I want to talk to this morning is one who is saying that, Pastor Mike, Father God, I just know that my heart is not where it used to be. I sense there's some paralysis in me. I sense that at one time I was serving God with fervency and zeal. My heart was right with Him, but I found myself being tangled up with things perhaps of sin or bondage or wrong thinking, wrong speech. I'm finding myself around the wrong crowds of people. And I'm finding myself with thoughts I can't control. And I'm finding myself even doing actions and behaviors that brings guilt and shame to my life. But I say that I know that God forgives. God's a God of mercy, a God of kindness, a God who does not judge me, but a God who loves me and wants to open His arms up to me and say, welcome home, my son, my daughter. I've been waiting for you. Welcome now back to me once again in my embrace, in my fellowship. My voice will come to you once again as it was in times past, saith the Lord. If you're like that this morning, and you want to be very honest today, and you're saying, that's where I'm at today, Pastor Mike. I want to see God's favor, God's smile, God's voice in my life restored once again. I sense there's an anchor, a bondage in my life that I know that God wants to break. Would you please raise your hand right now if you're like that? Christians who want to get their hearts right with God today. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see those hands over there in the middle here, left and right in the front here. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. There's a third person I want to pray for now in this service today, and that is believers who you're going through right now, a little bit of spiritual and soulish paralysis, to where you know that there's still some residue from the past. You might have gone through a church split, been hurt in a church by believers and Christians. You might even be hurt by what you think God should have done, but God did not do in answer to prayer. You might be a person here who's lost a zeal to read God's word, to worship and praise God, and there's no more life in it like it used to be in times past. And what God is saying to you is, it's time to pick up your mats, pull up your anchor, and by faith say, Father God, I will choose to rejoice in you. And I will choose to praise your name, and I will choose to find things to give thanks about. And I will create an atmosphere in my car, in my house, in my life, conducive for Jesus Christ to show up in a powerful way and set me free and pull my anchor up and set me back on sail on course for the destiny and plan you have for my life. If you're like that today as a believer, would you raise your hand? You're saying, that's me today. I want to see my anchor pulled up and paralysis gone and myself back on fire and back in zeal and back in the path that God has for my life. Anybody else? Believers. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet now. I'm going to ask all those whose hands were raised up for either one or two or three prayers. Make your way to the front right now if you do that, please. It's not late. Just come to the front and even now. Begin to stand up here. It's only 5 minutes till 12. We have got much time for still for lunch. There's still time for God to be moving here because we're not done yet. What God is saying to us is, again, we're not calling you to the front here to empathize with you and lie down with you in sympathy. We are here to help pull the anchor up, because in the natural realm, anchors don't get pulled up by themselves, except in modern mechanics. In the old days, back in Jesus Christ's day, it took several men of God to pull those anchors up and get them back on the boat where they belong, so the ship may take and set sail once again and put itself back on the course that God had for it in life. I want prayer partners that are here to go ahead and start standing behind the people. If you do that, please. I want Cheryl to help me out here as well. Shannon and Cheryl and all the people that are here, help us out. We're going to take and pray over these people here one at a time. Let's believe God is the congregation out there. Let's lift our hands out towards these folks. Reach out towards them. Let's believe God, whatever anchor is holding them back in life, we're going to see these anchors pulled out of the rocks, pulled out of the mud, the dirt, the weeds, the things that are holding them back. And we're going to see them put back on the course that God has for them. And you guys that are at the front here, I want you to be praying for yourselves even right now. Because Jesus Christ said, do you want to be made whole? And the man said, yes, I do. You guys this morning here, pray for yourselves. Say, yes, Father God, I do want to be set free. I do want to see the anchor pulled up. I do want to pick up my mat, and I do want to walk in the kingdom of God's desires and plan for my life, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Let's pray for these folks right now.